Blog Talk Radio.
When you walk through the garden, you gotta watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon. Walk the straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, He's gonna save your soul. You gotta keep the devil way down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury at His command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on to Jesus' hand. We'll all be safe from Satan. Thunder rolls. We just gotta keep the devil way down in the hole.
Soul.
And they shield you with their wings.
Mm-hmm.
Keep you close to the Lord.
Don't pay heed to temptation. It's June 1st, 2011, Washington, D.C., the planet Earth, third planet from the sun. We got to keep the devil down in the hole. It's not going to be easy. No doubt, a lot of you have heard the news from economic scholars, economic traders, economic people who have a vested stake in the United States of America's economic prosperity. The word has been given. The word has been given that fairly soon we will experience an economic collapse. Now, apparently there are two things you can count on for the truth. Two folks. Well, three. Your mama, Glenn Beck, and me. You see, mama won't lie to you. Glenn Beck has said it all along. He's been saying it for the last year. He's been predicting this for the very last year. Economic horror is the word of the day on the Drudge Report. I was wondering, hey, what am I going to talk about today? What's the topic going to be about today? I'm fresh out of ideas. Today is just not coming to me. But then I clicked on the Drudge Report trying to get, you know, stir up some creative juices. And bam, the headline in bold type read, "We are on the verge of a great, great depression." Why is this happening? Why, I mean, everybody's saying it, but nobody's really believing it. Nobody's believing it. It's just like, it can't happen to us. Can't happen here. Yeah, he did. He did work for the liberal media for a while. And, sometimes you gotta pay the bills. But is that what's important? Or is it important that he is right, and that everything that he has said, everything has come to pass as if he is the modern-day Nostradamus. Wall Street is having a hard time figuring out what to do now that the U.S. economy appears to be sputtering, and yields are so low. What we've got right now is almost near panic. That's what CNBC is saying today. So, let's get right down to it. Meltdown, 2011. I don't like being the bearer of bad news day after day after day after day. I don't like it at all. If you listen to some of my shows from early on when I first started this whole thing, blog talk radio thing, mostly it was upbeat. Yeah, I bashed Obama, you know, quite a bit, but it was all in good fun. But now things have gotten to the point where we need to be really serious right now. I mean, really, you're on with Dr. C. Robert Jones and the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. The toll-free number is 877-666-9305. And I got to figure why folks aren't using that 666 number is because it has 666 in it. Because I went ahead and sprung for that 500 minutes, toll-free minutes, and I still have 412 of those minutes left after almost, what, 7-8 months? Nobody's using it. The Messiah, when the Messiah speaks, you will know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So before we get into my predictions about the upcoming economic collapse, I want to invite those of you who will be suffering out there to meet me in a little place called Ramseur, North Carolina. I have a farm there, just over 200 acres. It was passed down from generation to generation. My grandfather, my great-grandfather, to my grandfather, to my father, to me. I've got about 48 cows, 48 to be exact. But after hearing what I'm hearing over the last couple of weeks, I'm going to go ahead and add some chickens. I'm going to go ahead and put some hogs down there. Okay. All right. Toll-free is so out of date. Most people have unlimited cell phone packages. Oh, my goodness. How embarrassing. You're exactly right. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Ramseur, North Carolina. I wish I could spell it. S-U. Ramseur. Bam. There it is. I'm going to go ahead and throw some chickens out there. You know, the reason why I haven't done the chickens and the hogs, which is where my great-grandfather started the whole thing with chickens and hogs and cows, was because you have to maintain the chickens and the hogs. And I'm just not there enough to do that. It's a 4-hour ride from where I am. So, but with the latest economic news, not from Glenn Beck today, not from Rush Limbaugh, my man and yours, not from any Republican, certainly not Democrat, no. This news comes from the financial markets themselves. They are predicting an imminent meltdown. The first time such bluntness has been uttered, been put in print since the weeks before the Great Depression, the original Great Depression. Pigs indeed are yummy. American citizens in the house, I'm going to invite you all down to the farm. A lot of land out there. I got all my stuff on the living room floor. I've got my tents. I've got my generators. I got it all downstairs. I'm going to pack it up and take it up to the farm. We're in trouble. And I almost feel bad because I keep saying we're in trouble. I've been saying it for the last 3-4 months. Yeah, I've been bashing Obama and I've had a great time doing it. But really, it's like the guy who cried wolf. Because now it's really happening. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do now? Because it's out there. And here's what's worse. I'm in Washington, D.C. at this very moment. I've got guys coming to me, warriors, coming to me, warning me. And they're saying, I can't say anything right now. They're talking national security. But here's the thing. I can't say anything. But this guy can. So you take what I'm about to play as if it came from me, but it didn't. Now, we have a saying in Chicago, which is where I'm originally from, and that saying goes, I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Check it out.
Current serving men in the military, I have spoken with one federal agent, and the information succinctly boiled down is this. There is an event coming, Steve, in the very near-term future that is going to affect the United States of America to its very soul. That what is being planned, as you and I are on the air tonight, and what has been coming together into that old term, the perfect storm, is literally brewing right over our heads. And it comes down into two or three parts, but it's basically and succinctly, again, this. There is an effort being made right now to bring together the armed forces of this nation in preparation for responding to and acting against the interests, as I see them, of our citizens. It is and includes military maneuvers in the United States, military actions that are forthcoming, and will be so deep and so penetrating that the United States will never be the same, in my view. This has been confirmed by a colonel, an active colonel in the United States Air Force, known to me very personally, among others, state troopers that I know in three neighboring states in the Midwest, three chiefs of police who are personal long-term friends of mine, and others who, and a federal agent who I've known for 20 years. What is going to happen, Steve, is that as the economic situation in this country dovetails right into the ditch, and the country responds by pouring billions and trillions after the billions and trillions that have already been committed, the FDIC is crumbling. The Federal Reserve is facing either saturating the economy with more money and letting inflation do what it's going to do, hyperinflation, and so forth, that when this does become reality in the near-term future, and I'm speaking probably within the next 45 to 60 days, we will see a response that has been programmed and projected by computers of where the most vociferous and the most heated response will be from Americans who simply said, we can't take any more of this. We've lost all we can lose. I'm going to defend what I have left. And the armed forces are being prompted to respond to this, not just simply in pacification, not going out there and being visible, not rolling their convoys through communities and states, but actually taking action against those areas targeted that are already targeted and were set up targeting by the 2009 census, so-called census, which was nothing more than acquiring targets for targeting computers. So individuals, even communities, but certainly areas where the government fears the greatest response from the people when the collapse of what is left of our great republic occurs. And the armed forces, Steve, have been faced with a tremendous challenge, unthinkable mission to plan for, and that is fighting against American citizens. Now
let's just stop it right there. Let's just stop it right there for a minute. The Oath Keepers. We talked about the Oath Keepers 3 or 4 shows back and how they are pledged to uphold the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I number myself among their members. There have been rumors that we just heard will take place in some future date. It sounds so conspiratorial that I have shied away from it for a long time, because I don't want to. I'm still attempting to avoid the label of right wing conspiracy nut job. That I shy away from stuff like this, really I do. But because it's actually happening, it's hard to shy away from it, isn't it? When it's actually happening, it's a little bit different than if, you know, you're predicting something that sounds so far-fetched. It sounds so bizarre. And people say, you're a nut. You're a right-wing conspiracy nut. I bet you've got all those big C-band satellite dishes in your yard. And you're listening for spacemen from other planets. And you believe the black helicopters are circling your house. And that those huge, giant, empty warehouses where the trucks back into, that they're building in your neighborhood, well, those are for stockpiling supplies so that when the end comes, the powers that be will have all the supplies they need. Why are those warehouses so empty, you think? Now, this guy's a nut. Dr. Jones, you're a lunatic. I'm not going to listen to your show anymore because you're crazy. You're just another right-wing loony bin. So, I stayed away from that kind of stuff. I've been called every name a guy can be called. A right-wing nut would probably be the most tame. But I've avoided it. I don't want to be called crazy. But now it's all happening. It's all happening. It's actually happening. And there's no disputing it. There's no, you can twist anything to suit your... No. We've been hearing about economic collapse, civil war, states breaking up, secession. We've been hearing about this for far too long. Now, in fairness, throughout history, when things have gotten really bad, we've heard the same thing. You know, when the Weimar Republic broke down and Hitler took control, the same thing was being said. This is the end. This is the end of the world as we know it. Well, it just happened to be in one way. But it's doomsday, and Hitler is the Antichrist, and the whole world's going to come to an end. But my good friend, former Kansas State Trooper Greg Iverson, the voice you just heard, he's detailing the whole deal. And he's not a lunatic. I'm going to tell you that right now. Let's listen some more.
There are many out there who might be inclined to say, well, yeah, that's hypothetical, but do you really think it's going to happen? I've even had a couple of folks who I really think a lot of and still do, but they just genuinely disagree because they said once that begins, that the casualties will be so enormous and even within the law enforcement and military community, because the response will be heavy from the American citizens as well, that this is a formula for unmitigated disaster. And I've said, yes, I do believe it's possible. Yes, I do believe it's coming. And yes, the government, its last-ditch position, regardless of what happens in Copenhagen, regardless of what happens at the United Nations, regardless of what happens in the bowels of that whorehouse in Washington called the Capitol, regardless of what happens anywhere there, Steve, it boils down to this. The American people have reached saturation. It's been long and it's been difficult. You at the top of the list, Steve, and others, of course, have been diligent, have been absolutely prophetic, and have been absolutely correct in your continuing many multi-year assessment of what's been going on. And I can't give you enough credit, if that's the right word, but certainly perseverance and courage for doing what you needed to do, even in the face of personal danger. I am so grateful that you've done that.
So former Kansas State Trooper Greg Iverson details a conversation he's had with military personnel that the government, i.e. this current administration, is preparing for an economic collapse that they suspect may result in civil unrest. Is he crazy? Is he a nut? Is he wrong? Is he a believer in little green men still hanging out in Area 51? Did he escape from a loony bin? Is he living in a trailer somewhere up in the Appalachian Mountains with 3 or 4 10-inch or 10-foot C-band satellite dishes sticking up over the double-wide? Huh. Do you want to find out? Well, if that's not enough, here's one more card we can throw down on the table. Take a listen.
Well, as time passes, the dissection of what caused the unrest in Egypt continues to evolve. Some even pointing their fingers at the U.S. economy. And when we look at the heart of that economy, we look to American cities and states, many of which may be facing the weight of trillions of dollars of debt they just can't pay. And some believe they may crumble under this pressure. They have to balance their checkbooks. They can't print money like the federal government. And RT correspondent Lauren Lister shows us the toll that it's taking.
You got some change, sir?
It's the reality America cannot escape.
With the city's roughly $280 million debt, more and more people are talking about bankruptcy.
News of debt like that hitting cash-strapped cities and states all over the country. Altogether, it could amount to $2 trillion. And a bill many may not be able to pay.
The problem of the state and local debt is more serious than the real estate bubble.
Serious because with millions of Americans still unemployed and losing their homes, there isn't enough taxpayer money to pay creditors. Local governments, which aren't allowed to operate in the red, must come up with the cash. This means some may be choosing between default or devastation.
in many cases, it'll be fairly simple for cities to cut services before they actually default on their debt.
States coast to coast seem to be trying this route, and the toll it's taking on the streets of America is undeniable. Camden, New Jersey is the second most dangerous city in the country. You didn't see many cops on the streets to begin with, and now you may rarely see any. The city's had to lay off nearly half of their police force. In Detroit, a city where people have been too broke to bury their dead, the city's too broke to repair dying infrastructure, to fix roads or lights. In the desert state of Arizona, cuts have been a matter of life and death.
Governor Jan Brewer taking a lot of heat over the death of another transplant patient after the state cut funding for the operations.
Here in New York City, huge piles of garbage like this one are all over city streets. The city's behind on picking up trash after getting behind cleaning up after a snowstorm. Now, public officials blame this on any number of reasons, but one accusation that keeps coming up is this is the result of budget cuts.
Cuts have consequences. You can't just sort of cut, and there isn't enough wasteful spending, so to speak, to cut. You actually do have to cut services that people depend on.
Analysts say the slashing will amount to an increase in unemployment and a lowering of wages, dragging more Americans down and the economy with it, while the prospect of bankruptcies threaten the pensions of public workers and may cause a run on municipal bonds.
So that will push the cities and counties over the cliff.
Well, that's not a... Okay. But this current administration, well, they want to forgive the debt of Egypt of $1 billion, at least. And they want to go ahead and contribute to a $40 billion or $50 billion pot. 40 or 50. Does it really matter anymore? Fund other countries' infrastructure, other countries' entrepreneurship, other countries' fiscal health. This guy, this idiot, this moron, this destroyer of America, Barack Obama, should be impeached simply for suggesting that the United States of America forgive the debts of $1 billion after what you just heard. Barack Obama should be impeached for contributing billions of taxpayer dollars here in the United States to other countries to improve their infrastructure, to improve their standard of living, to improve their way of life. We are no longer the country that has it all. We're no longer a country that's, you know, the horn of plenty. We're no longer that place where the streets are paved with gold. But this guy believes that, hey, it's all good. I guess he just wants to, you know, spend until the party's over. Speaking of which, Barack Obama is still worshipped in much of the community. I talked to some people earlier today about Obama, and I laid out the how's that hope and change working for you. And I was talking to some black folks. And I talked to 14 individual friends and associates, spoke with them individually. To a person, they blame George Bush. And to a person, they tell me that Barack Obama is doing the very best he can under the circumstances, given what George Bush put us through. Now, the other day, I talked to 12 associates, African-American, black folks. Got a different story from 7 of the 12. The story was they understand that Barack Obama is not all that they thought he would be. that he was not a symbol of hope and change, but something a bit more destructive. But that they hesitated to place too much blame on him because they are seeking to avoid or bury their heads in the sand that the first black president of the United States, as they put it, the first African-American president of the United States is presiding over the destruction of the United States of America, economically and spiritually and otherwise. So they're not going to go ahead, even though they know the truth, they're not going to, they don't want to, you know, state it outright, openly, for fear of, well, for fear of being, of telling the truth. Speaking of which, check this out.
Look at the rise of Barack. See, before he was elected, he was selected. Was it a suggestion of a group that surrounded him that knew the time?
Wait. Let's do that one more time.
Look at the rise of Barack. See, before he was elected, he was selected. Was it a suggestion of a group that surrounded him that knew the time? And that this man was the right man at the right time. And if we backed him, this man could change the course of America in the world. Sat with Father Flager, I sat with Smiley, I sat with Brother Jeremiah E. Wright, and I said, you know, I want you to look when a ship is going into space. I said, when it's on the ground, then you hardly ever look at the ship that's carrying the astronauts, because the rocket is so big. And when it says ignition, we have liftoff. I said, what are you looking at? You're looking at the rocket. I said, but the rocket does not go into space with the shuttle. The rocket, the shuttle in space.
Okay, all right. That moron is going way too far. He has changed his tune. He has since changed his tune. The calling number is 347-884-8500. Barack Obama, hope and change. Hope and change. Now, what you just heard was Louis Farrakhan, who spoke about Barack Obama in terms of him being the Messiah. Because before he was elected, he was selected. I'm not sure what the deal is. I mean, I've grown up black since the day I was born. I still haven't quite figured out the whole rhyming thing with Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and black folks who like to rhyme when they're speaking. Before he was elected, he was selected. But now it's, who the hell do you think you are?
You told the president, you said, be prepared. We'll be coming to your shores, America, to your door, you said. And your advice to Obama was to remember the words you're making to other nations.
Well, today, our dear brother, you know, has to be very, very careful in this decision that he and his Secretary of State and Sarkozy and Prime Minister Cameron and others are planning. They would love to go into Libya and kill Brother Gaddafi and kill his children, as they did with Saddam Hussein and his sons Kusei and Uday. You must remember, dear people of America, that whenever government wants you to think and act in a certain way that would bring justification to an action that they are already planning to make, they must make the person that they hate a boogeyman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody wants civil war. It is the bloodiest of all kinds of wars because you're fighting your own brothers. You're fighting the people of your own language and culture and history. So in every nation, brothers and sisters, there is dissent.
Okay, that's enough of that. All right, so Louis Farrakhan, who basically said that Obama was God, is now saying, who the hell do you think you are? The economy is collapsing, folks. There's room on the farm for you all. Because that's where we're going. How can this be? How can this be? Obama was the great savior. His policies are so awesome. Remember that summer of recovery? Anybody? The summer of recovery? It lasted like 6 days. They were on tour for like 6 days, and there was no recovery in sight. And so the summer of recovery tour just kind of collapsed. And we didn't hear much about it after a while. No. Nope. The summer of recovery. Well, that's too bad. A great, great depression brought to you on the shoulders of hope and change through Obamanomics. Wall Street's having a hard time figuring out what to do now that the U.S. economy appears to be on the verge of collapse. Yields are so low as of today. Market strategist for Yargrow Oerigger told CNBC that what we've got right now is almost near panic going on with money managers and people who are responsible for money. They cannot find a yield. And you just don't want to be putting your money into commodities or things that are punts that might work out or they might not, depending on what's happening with the economy. You need to find real yield and real returns on these assets. Now, here's the thing. The Great Depression, the run on the banks, just before the Great Depression, started with one man. Here's the history lesson for today. The Great Depression, the run on the banks, started with just one man, one citizen, who walked into a bank and asked for his money. He wanted to close his account. He had heard that the markets were not doing so well. So he wanted to close his account and get his money. The bank manager told him that he couldn't have his money. It wasn't here. The bank had closed. The bank is out of money. Dude became irate, and he demanded his money. Allah, It's a Wonderful Life. Do you recall the scene where folks wanted their money, and Jimmy Stewart's character didn't have it? He went out and told everybody on the street that the bank is closed, and he can't get his money. And he said, neither can you. And that's how it started. And that's a true story. We have a call on the line, 215. You're on with the C. Rob Jones Conservative Radio Report.
Yeah, well,
hey.
Hey. Oh, and 317, you as well, C. Rob Jones.
Steve from Indianapolis, how you fellas doing tonight?
Hey, Steve. Citizen was first. Can we'll let him go first and then you, okay?
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. Citizen?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to say what's happening in Spain now. Spain has an unemployment rate of like something like 25%. And that's what's happening across Europe is, you know, there's a real kind of economic crisis that is starting to spread across Europe because the currency is not backed up by anything because they've moved all of the manufacturing over into Asia. So we're starting to see that spread over, we're starting to see that kind of spread like over here to America as well.
Yep. Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. 317.
Yeah, as oil and food prices climb, you'll see housing prices crash. Another thing you're going to see as well in America is that the fact that we don't produce enough oil and food. So if we have a dollar crash because of the budget, then you're going to see high hyperinflation. And the problems in America can easily be fixed. The problem is we need to produce more oil and food right here in our own country. That's the root of the problem. If you fix that, the strength of the dollar will come back to America and we'll be less dependent on foreign food and oil, which is a national security risk. That's what needs to be fixed to fix the country. You can create 3 million jobs by the oil companies right here in America, but the Environmental Protection Agency, they've got 95% of the land off limits for oil drilling. The Food and Drug Administration, they're doing raids on farmers and wanting licensing just to farm for food. And they're going to restrict a lot of farmers from farming because the boogeyman of the salmonella and the rats and all that other stuff. You know, can you speak about that, Dr. Jones?
Yeah, I can. Let me go ahead and announce this, the next caller first. Caller, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. Hello. I think he's having some technical difficulties. A citizen.
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and speak to?
They don't want to drill off like the coast of Alaska. That's where they think they have a lot of the oil reserves in the state of Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reserves, the oil reserves in like on the mainland, maybe in Texas and places like that, I don't think they are as great as like what they may think they may be. Now, what they're talking about now is trying to go down to South America and trying to drill for oil down there and trying to bring the oil back to North America.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to stay, you know, like in the Americas to find oil. But the problem is that with the dollar is that the manufacturing base in North America is gone, and it's moved like over into Asia.
Yeah.
So what they have to do is any products that are coming from Asia, they have to place some type of tariff on those products before they come into North America. And they have to demand that the Asians buy a certain percentage of American-made goods. That would be the only way for the American economy to come back.
But the Obama administration has halted drilling, and apparently there's not going to be much drilling in certain areas because of a lizard or a gecko or something of that type. Godzilla's preventing drilling, and what state is that? I have forgotten.
Well, they're saying that a lot of the oil reserves are in like the Anwar area of Alaska. But, you know, the people that are concerned about the environment don't want to disturb the ecosystem up in Alaska. That's the reason why they want to prevent any type of oil drilling up there. But they're saying that they have oil reserves on the mainland, but they're not saying how extensive the oil reserves are. But the problem now is that the dollar has become like a fiat currency. So if the dollar is taken down as the world reserve currency, then you would see the economy kind of plunge completely.
But do you think all that's going to help? Do you think it's going to help? Because right now, the markets are saying that we are headed into an irreversible, a near irreversible slide into an even greater depression than the Great Depression. Do you think that drilling is going to help solve this problem?
No, I think they have to make the, they have to establish the currency with some type of stability. They have to put it on a gold standard or a silver standard. They have to bring back some type of manufacturing back into the country so that the country has some type of economic value. Right now, the country is like a consumer country, and it's not producing anything.
Yeah.
And that's the same problem they're having like over in like other countries, like over in Europe. They're not manufacturing anything anymore.
Yeah,
so they have
true.
Become a consumer-based economy, and their currency is not backed up by anything.
239, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report.
Dr. Jones, I work in manufacturing here in America, and I can't agree more. You know, I really do believe that they actually set up roadblocks for those of us that are in the manufacturing sector that actually are a discouragement to, you know, helping to foster economic growth. I think that in America, I really believe that it's important that, as your caller, as your other caller was identifying, that we need to come back to grassroots and really reconnect with what's important, which is putting people to work and connecting the economy directly to manufacturing in our own country. And I think that it serves the government a benefit not to drill. And I think that they conceal their political agenda. They shroud it in their feel-good, got to protect the environment, when really they're probably being offered economic benefit from outsourcing to South America and keeping ourselves so dependent on foreign oil and on foreign relationships. I believe that there is definitely a hidden agenda.
317, would you like to speak to that?
Oh, absolutely. See, this is the thing, folks. You can't have a global government without a catastrophic problem. The problem is artificially created. We have plenty of food resources, oil resources. We have plenty of resources to fix our own problem. The government bureaucracies that's in the way, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Food and Drug Administration, you know, they claim to be environmentalists, but at the same time, they let high fructose corn syrup in our food supply. They're not trying to protect people or the environment. They're protecting their own corporate interest. See, there's trillions of dollars being made in alternative energy. So what they're doing is they're trying to go by an oil-based economy to an alternative energy economy, because the big corporate guys are already invested in alternative energy. That's like you being David Rockefeller when oil was just discovered. You're going to be a trillionaire. See, what they're doing is they're positioning the super rich to benefit off this alternative energy. But really, it's not even necessary. They got automobiles that can go 100 miles a gallon. They just don't want you having one. And so that's the thing. We have plenty of technology that's suppressed. Our electricity grid is 160 years old. They've got plenty of technology and innovation that's being from the public that they do not want to come out, that could reinvigorate the entire economy, put so many jobs, it'd be unbelievable. And so what they want to do is they want to crash this economy, blame it on capitalism, And that's what all the class warfare began, because they want to blame it on capitalism and come in with socialism, communism, and then they're going to have their true world government. Can you speak to that, Dr. Jones?
Well, yeah, and exactly right. And we talked about this just a couple of days ago. No. It was yesterday's show where we spoke about how there are certain factions out there, including Bill Ayers and his wife, who have openly sought the destruction of the U.S. economy so that America could be rebuilt in a fashion that is more conducive to socialism. It's well documented that Bill Ayers and his wife would much rather see the destruction of the United States in terms of our economic stability. They want things to be different so that they want the economy to collapse so that the next thing that'll happen is that America will cease to function as it once did and function again in the way that is predicted by that's more of a socialist agenda. That's where I'm going with it. So that's what's happening. 239, can you give us an example of what's happening? What sort of roadblocks are being put in place for companies like yours that
Well, in you know, really, it's almost like it's a network that's designed to fail. As we try to, you know, instead of offering us encouragement to hire workers or benefits for keeping people, they set up tax blocks that make it makes it almost a discouragement for hiring full-time workers. They set up situations that make it taxes to the point that it's a discouragement to even be in business. It makes outsourcing labor and outsourcing and having temporary labor our only way of being able to keep in business. And unfortunately, what that does is it is a discouragement for offering Americans that want to go to work and have benefits and be able to enjoy the lifestyle that their grandfathers and their grandmothers were able to enjoy. It stops them from being able to have that because they set things up for the employer to make it impossible to be able to conduct business.
Exactly. And to speak to 317, I'm sorry, it's Steve, right? Did I get the name right? 317?
Yeah, it's Steve. Yes, sir.
I got to make sure I got it right. Okay. In responding to you, I'd like for you to listen to this clip, Rose.
Upon a little bit. Yourself, as well as quite a significant number of other people, believe that the U.S. power is dying down, both politically, in interaction with other countries, economically. Where does it really stand now, realistically?
Well, I think that it's destroying itself. American hegemony is no longer to be. We have too many rising other economic and cultural powers in the world. I think that gives us here in the United States a tremendous opportunity. The form that revolution and insurgency takes is constantly changing. We just saw the Mideast uprisings. Who could have imagined that before it happened?
When those events broke out, a lot of people in the United States were sort of fearful that the same could happen here on that kind of scale. Do you think that's possible?
Of course it's possible. You know, we've grown up in an era of exceptionalism, right? The last 70 years where the United States somehow isn't bound by the other laws of history. But of course we are bound by the laws of history. The death of bin Laden should be a moment where we can say, yes, now withdrawal, American withdrawal from occupation.
So why are all these occupations going on? It's because politicians love the occupations?
I think that they serve the of the late empire of capitalism, if you will. They're about oil. You can't say, well, we didn't intervene in Bahrain, but we did intervene in Libya. Why? I mean, there's reasons why.
Okay, it's a pretty long clip, and for those of you who heard the clip a couple of days ago, this is Bernadine Dorm. She is the wife of Bill Ayers, and they are both very good friends of our current president, Barack Hussein Obama. What she is advocating is the overthrow of the United States government, a second U.S. revolution, and the jumping-off point of that revolution will be the economic collapse of this government, the political and economic collapse of this current of our government as we know it. She believes that once the economy collapses, once the government collapses, they will be able to rebuild the United States of America in a more socialistic, Marxist ideological norm. Bear in mind, once again, that these two people are good friends with the President of the United States of America. Anybody? 215.
Basically, I mean, it's well documented in terms of like his affiliation with Bill Ayers. In fact, it's a book out now saying that Bill Ayers was the one that was the one to write his autobiography. So, you know, but I think that what's most important now is that, you know, that people realize that even over in Europe, they basically have like a social democracy type structure to their government. And still, I mean, they're having these economic problems. So evidently, if like some type of one world government is able to be formed, it will probably be formed between America and like these other countries that are in the West that are having these economic problems.
Yeah. 239.
I think that you really need to look into somebody like the Ayers and what their actual agenda is. I think that socialism is always gets to wear the cloak of for the people, looking after the masses, being able to offer you know, socialized medicine and being able to better protect and serve people and give them, you know, what they should be given instead of a capitalistic society, which is, you know, driven by money, which I think is, you know, really, when you look at the really true agenda of somebody like Bill Ayers, it's really about control and power. If you look into any of the socialist societies, there is such a vast divide between the workers and the way of the standard of life the workers have and what the people in power or the people that are in control have. And I think that that's really the true agenda of what's going on, and it's all clouded and cloaked in this, well, we're going to provide for you and those of you that are in the economic downturn now and you don't have, you know, if you allow us to have control, then you're going to be able to live a better quality of life. But in actual fact, it's quite the opposite. I lived in Canada. I was born in Canada and went through a socialist society. Canada is really a socialist society. It's just cloaked in the guise of you know, being, it's really, they like to think they're capitalistic, but they're not. It is more socialist than you'd even want to believe. And I think that is the way that our current government would like to see us go. And having socialized medicine, having coming out of that background, I know exactly what I'm talking about. Having had a catastrophic illness, these kinds of things, these kinds of directions that we're taking, there is no good end. When you're waiting 6 months to be able to have an MRI, when, you know, you're governed what you're eating and what you're being offered as far as housing is governed by taxes, and all of that is really got a hidden agenda of those few that come from a money position that ultimately want to have control. And it is the destruction of the capitalistic society that really is the foundation of what America's about that has to be stopped.
Indeed. Steve.
That is Steve. 317.
Yeah.
Oh, hey guys. Okay. Another thing, too, is there's a big fraud in orthodox medicine, which a lot of us grew up on. Like, if you look around the world, a lot of countries live longer than United States citizens spend. You know, the United States consumes half the drugs in all the world. So you have to – there's a major fraud in orthodox medicine that has never been revealed to the public. And health care costs have gone up so high over the years that's another major reason why employers didn't increase wages for their workers as well. And Medicaid and Medicare set the price of health care in this nation. They're a major driver of the cost. And so there's more things in the background that play to the destruction of the economic system in America than just oil or food. It's also dealing with orthodox medicine. See, back in the day, 150 years ago, a lot of our healthcare medical schools were holistic, and John D. Rockefeller went and bought up the medical schools and turned them into a drug system here in America where we're no longer holistic. You know, and now they're pumping out drugs. Every time you go to the doctor, they give you a new prescription. But when you look around the world, the healthiest countries that live the longest take very little drugs, period, unless it's emergency room, something like that. So there's major fraud that's driving the collapse of the economic system in America as well that needs to be investigated and looked into as well. There's a neurosurgeon called Dr. What's his name? Russell Blaylock or Robert Blaylock, and he wrote a book about it. About how Rockefeller had a lot to do with changing our medical system over from holistic to drug-based system and vaccines and all that. So there's frauds on that. Maybe we do a show about that, Mr. Dr. Jones, in the future.
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be great. Because I've been hearing. It's been on the news lately that America is about to. We are experiencing a shortage of prescription drugs, and that there's going to be a call for the administration to ask that production be increased. I don't know why we need the government to demand that drug companies increase production, but that is one of the remedies that's being bannered about, because we are in a drug shortage. And hey, Obamacare hasn't even been put into full swing yet. American citizen.
Well, I mean, currently we talk about modern medicine. It is connected to the pharmaceutical industry in a very real way. The pharmaceutical salesmen have an incentive to try to sell to the local doctor as much of the latest drugs that are currently on the market. And you'll find most of the biomedical research is geared towards what the pharmaceutical companies currently want on the market.
Yeah.
So everything about the modern state of medicine is basically in like a capitalistic type of structure. But that has made medicine in America superior to medicine in other countries around the world. But the problem is that because of the great gap in income between rich and poor, we find more and more of the working class do not have access to the modern medicine in America. And that's the reason why the healthcare debate has been a debate which has been raging since like a 15-year period of time. And now Obama has made an attempt to try to solve the problem, but this has been a problem that has been ongoing for a long period of time. Now, Obama's approach is to try to put it in like a socialistic type of framework to try to imitate what is currently happening with healthcare, like over in like some of the European countries.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, he's going to, make healthcare a right. And he may make, and in the future, it may be included as like an amendment to the Constitution that each person who is a citizen and pays taxes has a right to healthcare, which is currently in many of the constitutions that you find in Spain and in France. They have amendments to their constitution which say that they have a right to health care. So,
but, mm-hmm. But yeah. Citizen, it's now becoming more and more evident that the United States is going broke, and that it's not just talk. It's not just a chicken little saying the sky is falling. The sky is actually falling. So
right.
Wouldn't that render the fact that we don't have money to pay for, we won't soon have money to pay for basic goods and services, with the number of cities and states that are actually going bankrupt, which is, it's not just an opinion, it's actually happening. With that happening, there won't be any money for health care. There won't be any money to pay for
right.
it. So isn't the point of that, pretty much moot? I mean, at some point
yeah.
in the near future?
Well, if the nature of, like, the type of capitalism which is practiced in America now, if that collapses and we get a social type of democracy to develop after we go through some type of economic collapse, then you would see the government's role to increase in the lives of ordinary people. And I think at that point you would get rights to health care, rights to an education written into the Constitution. But if this country goes through economic collapse and you get, like, massive riots in, like, like around the country, then I don't know what the end result of that might be. And as, like, someone said in the chat room, it may lead to a civil war in which states, which one is to secede from the union.
Yeah.
So, you know.
239. You're Canadian. Obviously, that would include the fact that you probably have really beady eyes, as most Canadians do. But that aside, tell us about the healthcare system as it really is, coming from an actual Canadian.
Well, as a beady-eyed Canadian, as you put it, Dr. Jones, I can tell you this, that it's a misnomer to think that in Canada we just live this glorious life and healthcare is provided for us and that we have this utopic, perfect system. We pay dearly for our healthcare, and the thing that we don't have is choice. And there's so much discussion about HMOs controlling what doctor you can see and what you can do and controlling your health care. But if you really want to see controlled health care, you go to Canada. 54% of our income is taxed. We pay for all of our health care. It's not free. And the other misnomer that people don't realize is that in Canada, although we have basic, our healthcare is a very basic healthcare system, that it works if you've got a broken leg or a broken arm, but if you've got a catastrophic illness, such as a heart problem, cancer, et cetera, it's very, very challenging. It's challenging to get treatment. You wait in long lines, and you don't have your prescriptions covered. Prescriptions aren't covered. If you're in need of having cancer treatment and you don't have the means to pay for your prescriptions, then you are stuck in the social welfare system. So, and that, again, is paid by the taxpayer. Canada is such a heavily, heavily taxed society. We have six major banks that control everything in Canada. Our every move is controlled by the government. All of the so-called benefits we have for being there, we provide for ourselves, but the thing that we don't have is, though we're a working society and we pay these heavy taxes, what this socialistic background does is it takes away our freedom of choice, which is the essence of America. It's the essence of capitalism, is the freedom of choice. Hard work begets benefit, and the harder you work, the more benefit there is. And when you have that taken away, and when you have the government controlling it, and you have the government saying what doctor you have to go to or how bad things are, or the government saying exactly what your banking realities are,
because the government is directly in bed with our banking system. And so with having that kind of ultimate control, the few people that have that money position control the masses. And it's this very apathetic society that just allows it to go on. And one of the things that was said to me a long time ago that I think really I took a Canadian-American relations course and to try to understand the whole situation. And I said, you know, one of the things that drew me to come to America was that feeling of patriotism and that feeling of that verve and that life that country has. And I didn't understand. I said, you know, we're such an apathetic society. We just allow the government to do whatever they want. And in America, everybody fights for their right and their opinion and their right to have the opinion. And my professor said to me, he said, you think about the War of 1812. In the War of 1812, at the conclusion of the war, basically Britain was out of steam. They were out of gas. And they looked at Canada and they said, here are the keys to the country. We're too tired to bother with you. If you want to run your country, great. Just keep a connection to the Commonwealth. And that's fine. Whereas in America, it's been a fight. It's been a fight for freedom. It's been a fight and a vote and all about person's right to choose. That's what is the essence of America. And to give anything up and surrender any of that would be, to me, the demise of the country.
Wow.
Dr. Jones.
Yeah.
This 317.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
Another big conspiracy, too. And you guys are going to laugh, but it's true. In the 70s, the low-fat diet is one of the biggest kickoffs of high health care costs. See, most people don't know this. Physiologically, most people aren't built to be on a low-fat diet. But mm-hmm. what that did was, see, people used to eat a lot of high protein and low carb. See, the government shifted that in the 70s through a program called a low-fat diet. They start going into schools. You need to be on a low-fat diet. High carb, low fat diet. And see, the opposite was true, and Atkins figured that out. But so what happened was people start getting sick. Then they went to the doctor, and guess what happened? You pop a pill. And so the cost, see, Medicare cost was met, the entitlements were real low cost. But over the years, through the manipulation of the Food and Drug Administration, genetically modified food, you need to be on a low fat diet. Counting calories and all these little gimmicks that don't work for people, it started to make a lot of people sick. And then you mm-hmm. pop a pill here, pop a pill there. See, government laws, when they give contracts to pharmaceutical companies, that's guaranteed money. See, healthcare should have never been part of the federal government, never, because that's giving guaranteed contracts to billion-dollar companies for drugs that don't even work. I mean, hundreds of thousands died off Vioxx. You see what I'm saying? Why are people in Japan so healthy? They don't use the drugs we use. Diet and exercise has been supreme for I don't know how long. But most Americans aren't built to be on a low-fat diet. And the war on drugs is another conspiracy. Dr. Blair, like, do you know how many laws and civil liberties they took from you when the war on drugs started in the 80s? Can you speak to that, Dr. Blair?
Hold on a minute. 208. You're on the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report, and we have a lot of feedback. What's going on? 208. Oh, must be having some technical issues.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, I'm really not sure where to go with that.
The war on drugs.
Yeah, the war on drugs is one thing, but the fact that the low fat diet thing, I'm not sure how to speak to that.
See, people had to get sick. See, before the 70s, a lot of people weren't sick. People get sick from being on the wrong diet, then they pop the pill at the doctor's office. So what mm-hmm. I'm saying is, government shifted the minds of people to make eating meat be evil. And then Dr. Atkins came out with low carb saying, no, the government's got it wrong. Eating meat is not evil. When you're eating high fructose corn syrup and drinking pop and Junior Mints and all these cookies and candy, that's what's causing a lot of the health problems.
Well,
see, the government, what it does, the government shifts the minds of the people to do the wrong thing. And then the solution is even more evil than the problem. You see what I'm saying?
It's a
paradigm shift. The government is responsible. The war on drugs. Bush, the first Bush president, he took a lot of people's rights away with the war on drugs. People don't know this. They got to go back and look into his term. Look at the laws they passed when the war on drugs came out. He took our rights away with the Patriot Act. It started a long time ago.
Got it. Okay. American citizen?
Yeah, well, as far as the diet, the American diet is basically kind of dictated by the fast food companies that we have that started basically in this country. Like if you talk about a McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken, all of these companies started here, and they were able to take their brand around the world. So we have a diet that is basically kind of high in, like, any type of carbohydrates. It's high in any type of fructose or sucrose. So, I mean, we have a diet that is not found in other parts of the world, and it's part of our American culture to eat these types of foods.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we have an increase in heart disease and type 2 diabetes because of the fact that we have this American culture of food. So if people would, you know, voluntarily change their eating habits, you would find the same type of life expectancies in America that you currently find over in Asia because they have a diet that does not have a lot of these fatty foods in it.
Yeah, exactly. 208, you're on with the Dr. C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report.
Hi, Dr. Jones. It's Karen in Idaho.
Hey, Karen. You got a lot of feedback in the background. What's going on over there?
I'm sorry. It's raining and I'm in the car.
Oh,
okay. And I couldn't figure out how to listen to you on my phone, so I thought I'd just call in.
Ah, okay. All right.
You can ignore me if you want.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I won't ignore you. Have you been listening to some of the things we've been talking about this evening, or have you just turned in just now?
I just turned in, and I heard somebody talking about the Food and Drug Administration and all that, so I'm just catching up.
Got it. Well, thank you for calling in. We do appreciate it. Hold on just one moment. All right. Okay, what is that? What is that noise? What's going on there?
You got to mute people out, Dr.
All right. 215. Look, here's the deal. America, the theme of the show is America is going broke. But we've got all these other things going on. We've got the Food and Drug Administration. We've got the markets going bad. We've got all this stuff happening. We've got issues with our economy as it relates to oil drilling. What I'm wondering is it too late to turn all of this stuff around? Is it too late to come back? And I mean, just suppose that the current administration ends with the next election cycle. Can a conservative come into office and turn this whole thing around? And if so, what would they need to do to get the process rolling?
Well, if a conservative came into office and were to turn it around, I think they would have to impose tariffs on all products that are coming from Asia, and they would have to demand that all of the Asians, such as the people in China and India, that they buy a certain percentage of American products.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that currently at this point, I believe what Alex Jones is saying in the sense that there is a global elite which is dictating who the president will be.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, this elite group of people have an economic agenda that they're following.
Yeah.
And so whoever is placed in the office is going to have to follow this particular agenda.
Steve?
Yeah, well, the thing about it is people keep saying it's socialism. I got to stop saying the word socialism. Socialism can benefit the people to a certain extent. I'm really speaking about fascism.
Mm-hmm.
People try to sell socialism, but it's really fascism because the corporations are behind the scenes manipulating the media, manipulating the laws, manipulating the people with false information. It's really InfoWar. It's really a war of what's the right information. You know, should I be eating high fructose corn syrup, or should I be on a low carb, you know, diet, you know. So it's an information war. And see, if the media can make people mad and upset to start a revolution. But this is the thing. See, the media neutralizes people and pacifies people by keeping them calm, keeping their seats. The media was the first thing to be taken down. Then after the media was taken down and bought out by corporations, then they started manipulating the people. See, and that's the thing. See, it's hard to get people riled up against the government when the media is constantly saying everything is going to be okay. We're just going to, when you come to the airport, we're going to stick our hands down your daughter's genitals. Everything is going to be okay, Dr. Jones, and you can get on your flight. See, they condition you to start beginning. You start beginning getting this bad treatment by government. Mm-hmm. And then it grows larger and larger. Then they want to come in your house. We got to have sex with your wife once a year.
Oh, my goodness.
See, it starts small, but it grows like a cancer tumor. Can you speak to that, Dr. Blaylock?
Well,
Jones. Mm-hmm.
The Dow Jones has tumbled 280 points just today. Private sector jobs grew by only 38,000 in May. Planned layoffs are up. Manufacturing slowing down to a crawl. Economic disaster. The Drudge Report reports economic horror as data plunges. The British healthcare program is in grave peril. We are on the verge of a great, great depression. Robert Reich says America dithers as double dip looms. It's all bad news. It's all bad news, and it just doesn't stop. It's not stopping. It's getting worse, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse. So here's the deal. Either we get ourselves a government that will slow this down, find a way to stop it, turn us around, and make us this great, prosperous country that we used to be, or we plunge into destruction, anarchy, after being the world superpower for just a couple of hundred years. We find ourselves being done with. We find ourselves on the verge of socialism, Marxism, indeed even communism. How do we stop this? How do we come back? Because right now we're on the eve of destruction. Who sang that? That was a great tune. I tell you what, we're in trouble. What we need to do is find answers, because America will not survive four more years of Barack Hussein Obama.
And Dr. Jones, I think he's going to get reelected as well. I know you'd probably be upset with that, but they're going to use Granny going over the cliff and taking Granny's entitlements as a platform for the reelection. See, they've already started, the media started the conditioning. Remember the commercial where Paul Ryan was pushing Granny off the cliff? See, they start the socialization, the conditioning. Then they're going to be like, if you vote for the Republicans, they're going to take your entitlements. Vote for Obama. And all the seniors are going to run down there. Vote for Obama. And that's why I really believe he's going to get reelected. But if the seniors can realize that even if on the current trajectory path, they will still lose those entitlements because the interest payments on the debt will eat up the social programs, then the seniors realize that damned if you do and damned if you don't. If you keep your entitlements, you're going to lose them by default anyway. And whoever said that orthodox medicine was the king of this world to begin with. And you have to always question government. The laws of your nation is more important than your career, a lot of things, because the government can just come and take everything away. They can seize your property rights out the window, Dr. Jones. If we catch you with a gun in your car, Dr. Jones, you're going to jail for 10 years, all that type of stuff. Guns are probably the last thing on the list, Dr. Jones. When they come for your guns, then you know total tyranny is right across the corner.
No doubt. American citizen, any closing thoughts before we close the show out?
Yeah, well, I think that all concerned Americans should basically watch what the economic situation turns out to be in the next couple of months. And That's about all.
I think that a lot of people better start stocking up. I think that now it's no more just, it's not just an abstract idea. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's not a situation where, you know, a bunch of right-wing loons are bashing Obama and the administration and will say anything to scare people. It's not a scare tactic anymore when it's all over the news all day, every day. For the last 6 months or so, it's gotten worse and worse and worse with each new headline. It's real now. It's not. This is not a dress rehearsal. It's not a. It's not about politics anymore. It's about the survival of a nation. And when you have a government where where the president is talking about forgiving $1 billion of debt here and giving several billion dollars more to other countries where we don't have that money to give, well, it'll have to be borrowed from China, and we're paying interest on money that we're forgiving and giving away. It makes no financial sense whatsoever. And I think that what Bill Ayers and his wife want to do is what Obama wants to do. They all want the same thing, and he is working toward that end. And it's a really sad state of affairs. And if in fact he is reelected, with all the golf he's playing, with all the partying he's doing, all the flying around at tremendous cost to the taxpayer, I think this guy doesn't really care. I'm not going to do the Kanye West thing where he said George Bush doesn't care about black people. I'm saying that Barack Obama doesn't care about the United States of America in terms of its histories and traditions and the survival of this nation as it is today. When he said that he wants to fundamentally transform the United States of America, unfortunately, he's doing just that. Well, that's the end of the show for today. It's been an interesting day so far, watching the markets and watching the news. Thank you all for calling in and coming in. Any closing thoughts, Steve?
Have faith in God. Don't live above your means. Inflation could wipe you out. Stock up on food, guns, and water. And make sure you have some apple cider vinegar, some holistic, just in case they do release a pandemic. 'Cause if you don't have access to medicine or a doctor, you're gonna need something in the future, and stop eating the bad food. Get healthy, because that's what you're gonna need to do to avoid all these different crises. We can't afford to keep going to the doctor. People need to get healthy nowadays, because we're living in a different time and era. God bless. Have faith in God, and I see
you. All right. This. Thank you so much, Steve. Hopefully you'll be here tomorrow or the next day, and I really do appreciate you calling in and coming in. American Citizen, we've got 2 minutes left. Anything you want to say?
No, that's all. That's it.
All right. Thank you all so much for calling. Thanks for being here. I really do appreciate everybody participating and calling in and coming in. Thanks so much. Thanks all the people who are listening as guests. It would be really great if you participated in the chat room by getting a username and then logging in and coming on in. But I appreciate you being here no matter what. Antoinette, thank you so much. Tesla, Cougar, everybody else who was in the chat room, thank you for being here. TMV, thank you so much for being here. Sexy, Sammy, thank you once again for being here. Everybody, thank you. God bless you. And let's all have a great night. And then let's try to keep upbeat about what's happening. Everybody.